All these years you coming to church, listening to the gospel, hearing the glorious message. How many Easters have we rejoiced in together? How many Sundays have we held communion to remember the death of the Lord Jesus? Remembering his victory at the cross, remembering his promise, this do till he come again, knowing that there will be a resurrection day for us, that we will be brought into the glory. These are the things that stir our souls, and these are the confirmations that all of this will work together for our eternal salvation. And then, verse 60, you'll see Stephen's posture. He kneeled down. Perhaps he was hit with those rocks. All he could do was just get down on his knees. But he still prayed and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher. It's a great privilege to bring the message of the gospel again and again, Monday to Friday, 5 and 5. Remember also our Sunday morning service at 9:30. That's a full one-hour radio program on this station from our church. And we look forward to hearing from you that you've been listening in and enjoying the ministry of God's Word. We want to provide a gospel church service Sunday mornings at 9:30 that all may enter in and hear the message of the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We're located right between Cloverdale and Langley on 188 Street and 58 Avenue. If you go to our website, you can get a map of the church, times of services, and all the details concerning our church and radio ministry. You'll also find some literature magazines online, and I hope that they are a benefit and blessing to you. That website is www.cloverdalefpc.ca, and I trust that you will get all the information there. You can also join our church services from our website live by your computer. Just go to our website, and at those times, 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for our Sunday morning service, and 6 p.m. for our evening service, and click the red Live Now button. And when that's on, it will light up on your screen, and you can join us for our service by computer. That's 9:30, 10:30, and 6 p.m. here at our Free Presbyterian Church. Now today we have part two on the martyrdom of Stephen. But we firstly begin with Alan McGill singing for us, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and the darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
If you were to ask the vast majority of people today, who is Jesus Christ? Many could not answer that. Oh, have they heard of? Well, of course, they may have heard of Jesus. But is he the Messiah? Is he the sent one of God? Did the Father send him to do a covenant work to build his church and save his people? Men need to know that. And this is a confirmation of it. He was also martyred because of the conviction of sin at work. In verse 54, it says that they were cut to the heart and gnashed on him with their teeth. You can just see the absolute madness and the hot-temperedness of the hearers of Stephen's sermon. They were raging. They were like lions, gnarling, waiting to attack this man and stop his witness. Why? Because he struck a nerve. If what he is saying had no bearing whatsoever on them or of no interest to them, they'd have just gone to sleep. That's what people do in church. It's not interesting, go to sleep. But they were angry. They were upset because it was the truth. And it attacked them right at the heart. And the guilt of it and the sin of it, he was rubbing them and he was pointing out. And he said to them that they had killed the very Christ of God. And with such wisdom. And when you have the Bible in hand, you have the wisdom of God too. And you need not fear the wrath of men, even learned men. If you have the Bible, you have a sword in your hand. And you have a word that will bear witness. And just keep to the truth. Just keep to the message. Jesus is the Christ. Everything points to it. It's all there. All the facts, all the evidence. Jesus is truly the Christ. And if we can get that message to the hearts of men, then they must answer to the truth of the gospel. Stephen was also martyred because of the advance of Christ's church. Stephen, no doubt, was the man who was spearheading this growth in the congregation. He was chosen of the people, and there were many converts that believed. And do you know something else? Not only were there regular people believing, but if you go back to chapter 6, verse 7, you will read that a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Those that were ministering in the temple, those that were involved in laying, bringing sacrifices and offerings to God daily in the temple, these people who were Levites, priests unto God, obedient to the faith. What did that mean? They would have torn off their priestly clothes. They would have abandoned what they were doing every day, believing that Jesus' death was the final sacrifice. And they were gathering with the Christians, worshiping, remembering Jesus by what we're doing here today, the bread and the cup, the priests. Now, that must have torn the heart out of Judaism at that time. Our own leaders, our own men involved in temple worship. And for all these reasons, of course, Stephen was despised and hated. And here we are, 2,000 years later, the gospel is going out. And this is our work. This is our witness. And we praise God for every new convert and everyone that is saved by the grace of God. Then there's also confirmation here by the sights which Stephen bore witness to. In verse 56, we're turning out of chapter 7, and verse 56, while he was being persecuted and while he was being stoned, we're told here, "Behold, I see the heavens opened." What a confirmation. There is a heaven. This is not phony. This is not myth. This is not a fairy tale. There's a real heaven. And God in his grace gave to Stephen a view of heaven. The heavens opened. And he saw right into heaven, and he was given a sight of eternal things. What a tremendous confirmation this was. If you read church history and read of martyrs that were called to lay down their lives for the Lord Jesus, many of them were given a sight of eternal things prior to their death. Many of them in the fire and the flame around them, or while they were being put to death, they were able to look and they saw something of the glory of God. That's a tremendous confirmation. They didn't deny the one whom they were following. They went with him right through to death. And we can certainly believe that God prepares men for martyrdom. There are people to this day that are waiting for their martyrdom. In prisons, accused of certain things because they're a Christian, and they may face death. And God in his grace can minister to them. And we need to pray for that. In verse 55, you'll notice that he saw the glory of God. What an amazing thing. The God whom he preached was glorious to his view. And that was a confirmation of what he was preaching. The God of glory appeared to Abram, and there now he is himself looking and seeing this glory of God. And then we're told that he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. We'll not get into the issues of Jesus standing versus sitting, but he was there at the right hand of God, just as Jesus had himself declared, "I go to my Father. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself." And over again, Jesus says, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father." Jesus predicted that he would go to his Father. The angel on that day when the Lord ascended announced to these men, "Why stand ye gazing all this day? This same Jesus which is gone into heaven shall so come again in like manner." So he's there. This is a confirmation of these statements and truths that were declared earlier. And there at the right hand of the Father, that's the seat of power. That's the place of authority. He's given the keys of the kingdom. He is the administrator of all things to the church. And therefore, he is the one who sends the Spirit to minister to men here on earth. And Stephen's testimony of the open heaven and Jesus at the right hand is required to agree with the whole thrust of that message of the resurrection and the ascension. And this all comes together as true and fulfilled to the T. Can you see the details all coming together here? And so we can be sure today. And this is what I want to declare to you as preacher and pastor here to you. We have a gospel of which we can be sure of these things. There's no room for doubt. There's no room for questioning. There's no reason to give in to the doubters and the schemers who would try to undermine us of our faith. We have a gospel that is absolutely sure and confirmed by all of these things. What a true gospel it is, and what hope it gives to every soul. We are believing in the truth and the one who is really at God's right hand. Now we come to what I would call the spice of this whole thing, the death of Stephen, the grace that was given to him in his death. There was a power, an inner grace, a strength that was given to him that was phenomenal. Now, a key word in the New Testament is grace. Great grace was upon them all. And grace to you. Very often Paul wrote to the various churches. And the more that these Christians were persecuted, the more grace they seemed to have, the more zeal they had. And Stephen was given this grace to contend. He stood up for Christ. He stood up for the gospel. And while they were gnashing at him with his teeth, he didn't back off. There was a boldness and a wisdom. There was a strength within him that he did not back down. And he had a face as an angel that shone. What grace it was! The very countenance of the man made him a powerful witness to those who were gathered around him and who would soon stone him. Now, God can do that with his people. Now, when we talk about Christ-likeness and being molded and shaped into the likeness of the Lord Jesus, don't think that we're going to get a new features. It's not a makeup job. You're not going to get new physical features. But did you ever meet a Christian that was shining for Christ, beaming for the Lord? What a witness it is. And that person is spirit-filled, walking in the blessedness of Christ, and his whole life is just an overflow of the grace of God. So he had grace to contend. He had grace to confess. And in the midst of this angry mob, he confessed the things that he saw in that vision. Look at verse 56. The open heaven, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, notice this, he didn't keep it quiet. He was not in friendly territory. He didn't have a fellowship of friends here. He was in the arena of opponents and haters, and he said, behold, I see the heavens opened. And so he was able to confess the truths that he himself bore witness to. And then he said, Jesus standing on the right hand of God, called him the Son of Man. The Son of Man. That's this mediatorial name, by the way. That's his name that links him between God and men, the one perfect representative mediator. That's perfect God, perfect man, and brings them together. And he's representing his people as the Son of Man in his very human nature. That's his mediatorial work. And here is Stephen confessing these things and speaking them forth to these people. Nothing short of grace to do that. You and I have been in situations where we dared not open our mouths. Stephen was given tremendous grace. And also, I'd point out, he was not trying to be a troublemaker, but he was a truth taker. He was just reflecting the truth. He was putting into words the things that he saw. That's what a Christian does. We're a witness, telling it as it is, causing men to fight the truth and come to the truth. But then I also see in verse 59 that Stephen had grace to pray. Grace to pray. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. As the flurry of rocks were hurled at him, as those sharp rocks thudded at his head, he didn't remain resentful, rebellious. He called on God. What grace it was. This was a genuine man. This is confirming that he's truly a man of God. He's calling on his God in his hour of need. Therefore, he was depending upon him. And also, he was seeking grace to die. You'll notice in that prayer in verse 59, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Receive my spirit. There was grace to die. That will be the ultimate test of your faith. And just think on this. There will come an hour when we will have to pray something of a prayer like this. We'll have to acknowledge life's over. We're going down the valley. Praise God for the Christian. It will be a valley of the shadow of darkness. It will not be altogether darkness. And we will need the faith to pray, Lord, receive my spirit. Take me home to heaven. And that is the ultimate test of your Christianity. Is it real? Can you go to the bedside of a dying friend and say to him now, is it well with your soul? Have you made peace with God? Are you washed? Are you justified? Have you your sins all forgiven? Receive my spirit. He was given grace to die. And the wonderful thing is he knew he was going to glory. Receive my spirit. And I'd like to point this out, that in verse 2 he preached the glory of God. Verse 55, 56, he saw the glory of God. And on the same day he entered into the glory of God. What a gospel. What a glorious gospel. The things that he preached, the things that he saw, he entered into a confirmation of everything that he declared and stood for as a Christian. And surely that's the confirmation of the gospel message. What this man preached, witnessed, he also entered into. And that will happen to you and to me. All these years preaching these things, All these years you coming to church, listening to the gospel, hearing the glorious message. How many Easters have we rejoiced in together? How many Sundays have we held communion to remember the death of the Lord Jesus? Remembering his victory at the cross, remembering his promise, this do till he come again, knowing that there will be a resurrection day for us, that we will be brought into the glory. These are the things that stir our souls, and these are the confirmations that all of this will work together for our eternal salvation. And then, verse 60, you'll see Stephen's posture. He kneeled down. Perhaps he was hit with those rocks. All he could do was just get down on his knees. But he still prayed and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. How Christian is that? How Christ-like is that? Similar to our Lord on the cross praying, Father, forgive them. And here is Stephen, a martyr, a Christian laying down his life for Jesus' sake, and he says, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Now, it was a sin. It was wrong. Now, do you think his prayer was heard? Well, we know as we move on to chapter 8, verse 1, that there was a young man standing there, Saul of Tarsus. He was holding the clothes of some of those who were stoning. They threw off their cloaks that they might get more stone power, throwing rocks at Stephen. And we're told in chapter 8, 1, Saul was there consenting. He was in full agreement. He thought this was the right thing to do. This was a man who was apostate from Judaism. And at this point, Saul stood there holding the coats of those throwing their stones. But that day, the prayer of Stephen was answered. Saul was not converted that day, but it was more difficult for him to fight Christianity from that day. And we assume that he may have seen the face of Stephen shining as an angel. We assume that he would have heard the words of the things that he saw in heaven. And they would have heard this prayer, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And Saul would have computed in his own mind, what kind of religion is this? There's no hate, there's no sword, there's no revenge, there's no violence. Here's a man that's willing to lay down his life for his Savior and Redeemer and pray for us. And we can only think that from that day forward that that memory was in the apostles, Saul of Tarsus' heart, until his own conversion. Augustine has said that the church owes Paul to the prayer of Stephen. God answered that cry and heard his prayer, and it turned Saul eventually to God. That's what our witness is to do. That's what our witness before God is to do. And all the facts of Stephen's martyrdom are a great confirmation to the gospel. And I call you to believe this and be saved. Because you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're not saved, and you're fighting the truth. Then today you need to take this to heart. And we'll come together to the communion table and remember our Lord Jesus, remembering him that died, rose, and now sits at the Father's right hand. And what we've learned today is a confirmation of the things that we're about to do and remember. And because of Stephen's confirmation of Christianity, you can be sure that what Jesus accomplished on the cross is now applied. It's available. He's at the right hand of God. He's on the throne. He's ruling the world to build his church and save his people. And he can save you, and he can bless you and keep you and give you the grace even that Stephen had in the most difficult of situations. Maybe you have something awful difficult to face this week, something that you don't want to face at all. Pray that God will give you grace and that you'll do it as a Christian for God's glory, and it will turn out to be an effective witness for your Lord. What a tremendous man Stephen was. One of the main disciples, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. And no doubt, he was a spirit-filled man right into his martyrdom. Now, we read there about Saul of Tarsus, that he was consenting to the death of Stephen. Paul was a young man at this time, and he was steeped in Judaism and convinced that Stephen was an apostate, that he had betrayed the faith and was deserving of this death. As he stood there, he became a witness of all these events. And we notice, of course, that Saul of Tarsus, who later became Paul the Apostle, witnessed the martyrdom of Stephen. He would have witnessed Stephen's submission as he fell to his knees and as he lifted up his eyes to heaven, waiting for the Lord to receive his spirit. Saul would have seen the shining glow of the Lord on Stephen. He would have seen the readiness by which he was laying down his life, and no doubt was greatly challenged by it. And so we learn here that we never know how our witness for the Lord Jesus will become God's instrument to convert others. The Lord uses human instruments. He uses his word, he uses the knowledge of the gospel, but he also calls us to be his witnesses. And the Greek word is martyrio, from which in the English we get martyr. We're to suffer for Jesus' sake. We're to endure hard things. And many have been called to lay down their lives, even for Jesus' sake. And there are parts of the world today where there are Christians who are ready to lay down their lives, ready to suffer for Jesus, that they might be faithful and that they might be a true witness for the Lord. And it is in those very difficult times, those trials, that we bear testimony to our Lord by our submission, humility, our love, and by prayer. And as Saul of Tarsus, that young man, witnessed Stephen, no doubt it was more difficult for him to fight Christianity from that day forward. There must have been in his heart a great degree of interest. What kind of people are these? What kind of gospel is this? Who is this Jesus that's still alive? And of course, when Saul of Tarsus met that Jesus on the road to Damascus, what conversion it brought about in his own heart. And so we can say that the Lord is able to use us as his witnesses. So never fear to stand up for Jesus. And I trust you'll be blessed today.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.